You're listening to BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, it is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasudhi. Photoshop, false advertising, bullying and peer pressure. What are the main factors affecting self-image amongst youth in Malaysia? How can we help the youth face up to their own face? Consultant psychologist Dr. Brandon Gomez helps us understand what adolescents go through, how to tell if they're at risk of health disorders and how to help them see their beauty within. Welcome to the show, Dr. Brandon.
Thank you very much.
You know, Dr. Brandon, when you talk about self-image, sometimes self-esteem comes into play. I mean, what is the difference really?
Well, there's a big relation between self-image and self-esteem. They all come together under the concept of self-love. Mm-hmm. You know, self-esteem, self-image, self-competence. They fall under the umbrella of self-love. Do we love ourselves? Do we see ourselves really for who we are? Mm-hmm. Or are we seeing ourselves in a very negative way? And that's why I kind of put a little spin to the topic today.
Okay.
Self-image, how to fix the broken mirror. How do we fix that? And I always start my empowerment programs with a light moment. So here's one. You know, the evil witch says, "Mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of them all?" And of course, the wicked mirror answers, "You could be my beautiful queen if you use the underarm bleach so as your underarms look really fair." Now, can you imagine if you go out, your underarms also need to look good? And here people, look, it's all white, you know, and you walk around with your underarms in the air. What does that tell you about your self-image, you know? So this topic that we're talking about, how do you fix the broken mirror? How do you help teens with their self-image is very timely at a time and a stage in life where the young is very impressionable.
Mm-hmm.
They're struggling to find themselves and to keep afloat in the sea of voices of what's calling out is the artificial self.
Right.
You know?
Why do you think that's the case?
I think that there's a whole bunch of pressure that they are getting. You know, they're getting a whole bunch of voices, a whole bunch of things coming from everywhere. And I think at the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves, how can we help youth face up to their own face? How can we help them realize that the beauty they are running after already exists within themselves? In fact, probably at a much higher degree.
Right. Many of us, you know, think, or based on studies, we think that the brain has sort of developed in childhood, right? But we have recent studies published of the brain which has proven that due to evolutionary, you know, aspects, findings indicate that the human brain underwent profound changes during teenagehood through to the early 20s. Now, how does this affect self-image?
Well, let me put this clearly. I mean, I'm an applied developmental psychologist, and we take a lifespan development perspective. Our brain does not just develop at a particular stage in life. It's constantly developing. It's plastic. And so, yes, at the teenage years, there is a whole bunch of processes that is going on, but it's not just with the brain. It's with the whole body. It's the whole being that is actually changing. And we're changing all the time. But as we are changing, we're also struggling with that ultimate question, who are we? And can we accept ourselves for who we are?
Mm-hmm.
Let me share a little story about myself. Is that okay?
Yes, go ahead.
I was 13 and I was smitten by this girl and in the front row of where I was sitting. And I thought she was drop-dead attractive. She reminded me of the lovely celebrity that played Jane on Tarzan at that time.
Mm-hmm.
So I got up the courage and whispered to her, "You look like Jane in Tarzan." And she blurted out loudly in front of her friends, "You look like the ape in Tarzan."
Yes, that would have hurt pretty bad. I mean, how has self-image emerged as a central issue in the lives of teens today?
I think it's a central issue, because if I was to ask our listeners out there, if we were to ask our listeners out there who's joining in the topic, what was the first time that you experienced someone saying something negative about
mm-hmm.
you? When was this? Was this in kindergarten? Was this in primary school? Was this in secondary school? What did they say? How did they make you feel? And Mark Twain puts this well, the worst loneliness is not to be comfortable with yourself. And we know of so many young people who are just not comfortable with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
They're struggling. They're struggling inside of them. And they're struggling very quietly. And it's a very lonely process.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about self-image, are you talking about appearance, weight, beauty, personality? What exactly are you referring to?
Wonderful question. Let me just say that when we talk about self-image, it's not the same as an identity crisis. It's not the same as a personality disorder. For many young people, or even older people, our self-image can be affected by a whole range of things. From how we look, or how we wish we looked, how smart we feel, or how dumb we feel, how well we do in exams or life,
mm-hmm.
or how we fail, how many friends I have, or how lonely I feel, how much I feel I matter to others, or how insignificant I feel, how much recognition I get for what I achieve, or how I ain't worth very much.
Mm-hmm. A lot of us think it's just self-body image. How much of it is body image?
Oh.
A huge part of it, I'm sure.
It's a huge part.
Yeah.
Now, if you're attending a workshop I do, one of the first things I have participants do is to draw themselves. How would you draw yourself? How would you draw yourself?
I'm not sure, actually. First of all, I can't draw very well. I'm still into stick drawing. So, I mean, what do you get your participants drawing?
Well,
I will attempt to draw myself, yes.
Oftentimes, I find that participants, when they draw themselves downwards. They draw themselves more negatively than they really are. Now, it has nothing to do with their drawing abilities. It has to do with how they look at themselves,
mm-hmm.
you know. And maybe we should start with the question. What is a healthy self-image? How does it really look like?
Yeah.
You know, I think a lot of research has shown that if you have a healthy self-image, you accept yourself for who you are. You accept others for who you are. You have a concern for the welfare of humanity. You have a deep, satisfying interpersonal relationship. You have deep appreciation for basic life experiences. You look at life from an objective viewpoint. You're problem-centered rather than self-centered. You're creative. There's a good sense of humor. Now, a lot of this list is influenced by Abraham Maslow, and I can talk about that a little bit later. But so what does beauty really mean? I don't know whether you know this, Mira, but in the UK, 75% of girls don't like the way they look.
Of course. And I'm not surprised.
Now, if 75% of them want to change their looks, what do you get? Now, if 75% of the girls in the UK want to be or want to look like Liz Hurley,
mm-hmm.
is everyone going to think everyone else is beautiful?
Yeah.
See, that's the thing. And I like what the star of Harry Potter said, mm-hmm. Daniel Radcliffe, when he was interviewed. I used to be self-conscious about my height, but then I thought, foolish thought, I'm Harry Potter. You know, can you imagine if Daniel had been defined by his shortness or short-sightedness?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what do you get?
Yeah.
And so I don't know whether I can say this, but, you know, a little bit of a promo for organizations that are looking to sponsor self-esteem programs for teenagers. They can contact me because we're doing a little bit of programs to enhance self-esteem for young people.
Mm-hmm.
And they can go to the website, www.positiveyouth.org,
right.
and find out more information.
Based on your talks, I mean, with these adolescents,
yeah.
I mean, what have you found out about the Malaysian adolescent?
Yeah. Well, I think that we get so caught up. I think teenagers get so caught up with how everyone else is looking, and we, you know, a lot of it comes from our TV. A lot of it comes from the media. You know, look, for example, take the magazines, for example, that we get here in Malaysia. If you look at the magazines, they almost look unreal. First, there's the makeup touch-ups for the real models. Then there's the touch-ups on the photos. There's the Photoshops. Two rounds of modification, and the magazines don't even look like the real person. In fact, the celebrities in the magazines wish they looked like that.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
But we still buy into this notion, don't we? Because we still buy the magazines. And we conform to the Hollywood norms of what beauty is supposed to look like. And I think that's where we have to deal with the issue here with young people in Malaysia. You know, today in the US, almost 1 million guys have eating disorders. 1 million.
Mm-hmm.
Can you guess how many girls have eating disorders in the US?
Easy, 5-10 times more.
At least 5 times more.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think the ratio is in Malaysia?
The same.
The same. You know, it's not just a problem affecting women or teenage girls. It's also a problem affecting
boys.
Men, teenage boys as well. You know, we're just so caught up with this. You know, from anorexia to bulimia, these are some of the things that we have to look out for when we talk about eating disorders.
Coming up, we'll find out more about adolescent self-image with me, Dr. Brandon Gomez, an applied developmental psychologist on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
You're listening to BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
Good afternoon. It is The Bigger Picture and it's Mira Sivasuthi. We're discussing adolescent self-image. I mean, I think many of us have children who are, you know, in their teenage years. What sort of a role are you playing as a parent, as a caregiver, in forming a positive self-image in our children? I think sometimes I'm guilty myself. I've got a teenager at home and sometimes you can't help in reinforcing some negative messages without you even realizing it. I mean, weight, for an example, Dr. Brandon. I mean, how do you talk to your children about weight? I find it easier talking to them about sex, about drugs. But when it comes to weight and with obesity on the rise, I mean, how do I even broach this topic of weight? And that goes back to what you were talking about, anorexia, bulimia. The wrong things I say could lead to, you know, issues like these. So how do you even broach that topic?
Mira, you sound like a concerned parent yourself.
I am.
And you know, the thing is, you know, with concerned parents, they're already doing most of the right things, really. I think what we really need to look out for is keeping the communication open with our teens. You know, are we open enough to discuss, you know, just like, you know, I'm very impressed that you are able to discuss with the teens issues of sex, a whole bunch of different issues.
It's probably because I speak so much about it on the show. It comes quite easily. And with education, you realize that this is no longer, it's not really taboo anymore. It is fact. This is happening in the world. If you don't do something about it now, you know, our children are going to lose their way at some stage.
Yeah.
So, how do you broach the topic of weight?
The first part of the question is the most important. How do you broach the topic? And that really deals with communication. That really deals with having the time to spend, to listen, to be with your child, to actually, you know, sometimes we get so caught up with all that is happening. And true, you know, we live in a difficult times. You know, we live in times where we're stretched to the max. I mean, just living is a full-time job, let alone the job that pays.
You hit the nail on the head.
And how then do you spend time with somebody else who's also living, who's also, that life is also a full-time job for them? And that's really important. That's really important. And oftentimes, I'm sure you'll hear, you really have to make that time to discuss stuff. For example, you talked about weight. You know, and sometimes they are telltale signs, isn't it? We can see, but we are afraid to ask that question. We have to ask ourselves, why are we so afraid to ask those questions? Why are we so afraid? Maybe it's because we are afraid to find out the answers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we're afraid to find out, okay, so my child does have a problem. Then what? I may not have the answers. I may not be able to help them. The thing about it is, you don't need to have all the answers. You just need to know that you are there to support them in their journey, and that you can find the answers, that you can find out resources for them or work with them to find out resources for them. That'll be helpful.
Okay, fantastic. So any other signs of anxiety over self-image that we can actually pick up?
I think one of the things that you'll probably find in these days, especially if you're walking around and going around the malls, you know, today's teens have started Barbieing up their looks, you know, long fake eyelashes, you know. And where is this coming from?
Taylor Swift Carly Rae Jepsen. The list just goes on.
I love Taylor Swift.
They have come up with their own range of perfumes. You know, the industry is far ahead. I mean, we can't keep abreast with the industry. And it's not a good way of just condemning media and stuff and saying, you know, look, they're going to go ahead anyway. As to, you know, regardless of what we say. So I think instilling those values at home is what's most important, really. But the question is, how do you make sure you're doing it the correct way?
I mean, you know, it's one thing about instilling values but at home. But kids are also seeing what's happening out there. They've got friends. They've got their social network, you know. And there's a lot of peer pressure. I mean, look at places like Korea, and I wouldn't be surprised very soon in Malaysia as well. Teens want double eyelids. Mm-hmm. They want to look like they're superstars. It's it's part of the K-pop culture, isn't it?
Yep.
You know, you want to have this clean look, this you know, non-pimply look, and even the boys. There's now a whole industry, a whole cosmetic industry for boys. Can you imagine that? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if very soon plastic surgery becomes the top industry in not just Malaysia, but in the rest of the world.
It's on its way there.
Everybody wants to change the way they look. And why? What's going on? I mean, there's an image of Mona Lisa on the internet. I found it on the internet before and after plastic surgery. After plastic surgery shows her lighter, blonder, and cup size D++ tops. Mm. You know, and I'm just wondering, which painting do you think is going to sell for $1 billion, the original or the touch-up? And that's the thing with even Hollywood celebrities. Every year they go for a touch-up. Every year they go for plastic surgery. But it never is satisfying enough. Why? Because what they change on the outside doesn't change what's on the inside.
Does the Malaysian adolescent struggle with the same issues of self-image?
I think they do. I think a lot of young people in Malaysia are struggling, very similar to people across Asia, especially as it becomes a more globalized world, especially as it becomes a more open world, especially as the media becomes more open. There's the influence of the internet. In this day and age, you can control whatever you want. You can put how many locks on your doors and how many locks on your gates. But you may have forgotten that the influence for your children may be coming through what's very center in your home, the internet. There's a lot that is coming out through the internet. And we forget to put the padlocks there.
Yep.
So in Malaysia and across Asia, there's different struggles of self-image, from teens who don't feel they're pretty or handsome enough. I call them the depressed teens. From young adults who feel fat, the exercise freak. From older adults who feel old, the middle age crisis. From celebrities who feel not sexy enough, the Botox celebrity. Then there are those who are fat and hate their fatness, the obese. There are those who are thin and hate their fatness, mm-hmm. the anorexic. There are those who wish their boobs and penises were bigger, the extenders. And those who wish their butts or vaginas were smaller, the shrinkers. There are those who talk a lot to hide their ineptness, the talkatives. And those who hide from people so as they don't have to talk, the wallpapers. There are those who bully and discriminate to prove themselves that they are more powerful, the bullies. Mm-hmm. And those who are bullied, who are marginalized, who have started to think that they are powerless. A whole range of it. What we see from, if we were to take a macroscopic lens, and if we were to see and if we find what is it common, many of these individuals, what is common?
Self-esteem, really.
They don't like themselves. Mm. They don't like themselves. They're acting out in various ways is a sign, a significant problem with their self-image. And their self-image is related with their self-esteem.
And what happens if this issue or this problem remains unresolved?
Great question. They move into adulthood, into the workplace, into companies, into corporate positions. They become our government leaders. And so...
That is a scary thought.
What happens then? Don't get me wrong. I don't... I don't want to generalize that every problem is because of our self-image. There could be a whole bunch of issues. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I'm saying is that for many, the issue of self-image is key in unlocking their difficulties in life.
Okay. Earlier on, you said something about Maslow's pyramid in relation to self-esteem. You want to just tell me a little bit more about self-esteem?
Well, psychologists sometimes refer to what is known as Maslow's pyramid. Our greatest need is physiological, then safety, then love, then self-esteem. Our self-esteem becomes a platform for self-actualization. And everything that happens to you, everything, is a reflection of what you believe about yourself. We cannot outperform our self-esteem. We cannot draw to ourselves more than we think we are worth. And that's really taken from Evangela Van Zandt. The problem is we get stuck. We get stuck, and psychologists talk about Erikson's psychosocial stages that we go through in life.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of a rough guide of how we change over time, from infancy to adolescence to adulthood. And around the time of adolescence and young adulthood, Erikson talks about these two stages: industry versus inferiority, identity versus role confusion. For example, in industry versus inferiority, compared to my peers, am I successful or am I worthless? In identity versus role confusion, who am I really? Who am I really? If we aren't able to move through these stages successfully, if we remain stuck in our narrow notion of self-beauty, it's going to be a challenge. It's going to be a challenge to move ahead in life.
And when your self-image is in fact affected, it's injured,
mm-hmm.
can you actually fix it?
You know, the thing is, when it gets injured, we start thinking we're no good. We start feeling shame. We feel guilty. We feel hatred. There's self-blame. The worst part of it, we slowly start blaming others. We start blaming others, and the vicious cycle of destruction begins. And yes, you know, in fact, before I answer that question, Carl Jung has this good quote.
I like that man.
He's a pretty good man. I mean, my meeting with him has been pretty good. That I feed the hungry, forgive an insult, and love my enemy. These are great virtues. But what if I should discover that the poorest of the beggars and the most impudent of offenders are all within me, and that I stand in the need of the arms of my own kindness, that I myself am the enemy who must be loved. I myself am the enemy who must be loved. What do you do then? What do you do when you are the worst enemy? So you ask a good question, Mira. What is the cure? Do we change the mirror?
Mm-hmm. Can't be done.
Do we break all the mirrors that don't work? Or are we more destined to follow the ways of Michael Jackson? Bleached, still there's nothing left to scratch out other than life itself.
Mm-hmm.
For me, I'd like to start with the man in the mirror. Start by seeing yourself. Start by seeing yourself. And may I speak to the listeners directly? For those of you who are listening out there, start by seeing yourself for who you truly are, and build on what you have. Build on what you have. And that's also the reason why we're launching the Positive Self-Esteem for Youths workshops. You know, it's workshops that we're trying to reach out to young people and to build their self-esteem. Maybe we should ask another question: why is a healthy self-esteem important? And if you look at the workplace, if you look at schools, we find that our strings are being pulled. We're like puppets, you know. We're just going through the motions.
Yeah. Plus, we play different roles.
Exactly.
At work.
Yeah.
At home. You know?
Yeah.
So that whole idea of identity versus, what was that just now? Roles, was it?
Identity versus identity confusion.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So how do you manage that? We play different roles.
Yeah.
Everywhere.
The problem is not about playing different roles everywhere. The issue is, are we comfortable in the roles that we play? And how do you get there? Are we comfortable with ourselves, with who we are as a person? So our empowerment program begins with, how do you define yourself?
How do I even start?
You start by examining first and foremost, what you're good at. What are your strengths? Oftentimes, we tend to focus on what our weaknesses are. What we're not good at. Sure, a lot of us are not good at a lot of stuff. We recognize that. I'm not saying throw it away. Mm-hmm. We keep it aside. We keep it to one side. For this moment, let's just think about what are we good at. And sometimes it takes time to discover that. Sometimes it takes time to actually sit down and reflect on it. It's not an easy question because we, you know, as Asians, we tend to play down ourselves. We tend to not want to talk big about our strengths. So we're not asking you to be bragful or be proud. We're saying, just take a moment and ask yourself, what are you really good at? Start from there, you know? Because how we spend our time, how we live our lives, then become defined by how we see ourselves. Scott Peck, in his book, The Road Less Traveled, puts it, until you value yourself, you won't value your time. And until you value your time, you will not do anything with it. We don't want young people to sit down and just not do anything with their lives. They are at the point in their life where they can contribute so much to society when and if given the opportunity. And we as adults, we can do that for them. We can give them that opportunity.
Do you find Malaysian parents are ready for this?
I think they are. Mm-hmm. You know, we've progressed so much as a society, as a country, as a nation. We've embraced different concepts from different parts of the world, and we've looked at it from we've expanded our horizons and broadened our understanding of the different aspects of the world. I think we are ready. We are ready to empower our kids. And I'm not talking about certain Western ways of empowerment where it's, I'll just let my kids do anything they want. Mm-hmm. That's not responsible. I'm talking about responsible empowerment. I'm talking about journeying with your kids. I'm talking about young people journeying with mentors, with people who are willing to coach them to be the best that they can be.
I suppose you can start by just being there.
Yeah, exactly. That's a big part. In fact, that's a part of our program as well in terms of coaching and mentoring. You know, how do we journey with the young person? Mm-hmm. You know.
And when you, what's some of the quick tips for maintaining a healthy self-image? I mean, let's say as parents, you already have a negative self-image of yourself. How do you empower your child?
Well, first and foremost, you need to recognize what are the influences for that child. Because there can be so many different influences, and you need to know what is the dominant influence for your child. There can be many reasons for your child moving in a certain way, for us as young people to move in a certain way. We've talked about the Photoshop magazines. There's pressure from peers to conform to certain standards. There's parenting styles. We need to relook at our parenting styles. Our own style of thinking as a young person, we need to look at our style of thinking, you know. Is there time to touch on peer pressure? Do we want to talk about
yes,
that?
Yes, go ahead.
Bit?
Peer pressure.
You know, peers can be the greatest source of support, but boy, they can be the greatest source of unhappiness
as well. It's two extremes.
And some of us in situations where we don't conform to them or we don't meet the standards of their groups, what happens to us? We get picked on. We get left out.
You're an outcast.
You know, so I like Adam Lambert's, you know, from The Voice. He says it well. Being different is always going to be a tough climb. There's always going to be people that are scared of your difference. But at the end of the day, if you give those bullies the power to affect you, you're letting them win. And they don't deserve that. Michael J. Fox, the star of Back to the Future, adds on, one's dignity may be assaulted and cruelly mocked, but it can never be taken away unless it is surrendered. So what do you do as a youth? What do you do as a young person? You start by appreciating yourself. You start by finding and waiting patiently for the people that will appreciate you for who you are. And you can connect to a higher power to God, to nature that you believe in, that provides a sense of peace and acceptance. These are things that you can do. And what can you do as a parent?
Mm-hmm.
There's a wonderful poster that I came across that states, parents need to fill a child's bucket of self-esteem so high that the rest of the world can't poke enough holes to drain it dry. And I truly believe in that.
So in this course that's coming up, when is it happening?
More information can be obtained. We haven't confirmed the full dates yet, but okay. We are having a series of workshops on www.positiveyouth.org. It's .org.
Yep.
Not .com, .org. Or they can email me for information at arcade@gmail.com, ARCCADE. It's double C's @gmail.com.
Fantastic. Your final words, Dr. Brandon, on adolescent self-image.
I would just like to say that, coming back to the issue of beauty, I worked in an airlines as head of a regional training academy. And many of the air stewards and stewardesses we see are ordinary people like you and me. And the ones that stand out is really because of their smile. It's their smile. The ability to connect with people, the ability to make people feel comfortable. We had a wonderful image consultant on board that said to me, beauty is more than physical looks. It's in the smile. Because in your own life, it's important to know how spectacular you are. Then you get to experience all of self-love, self-acceptance, self-care, self-esteem, self-image, self-expression. I'd just like the listeners to remember that you, are made for happiness. So, I think it's important to get off your butt, stop sinking in negative behaviors, be gentle with yourself, and start planning. Start planning how you're going to get the help you need towards a healthy self-image, and promise yourself one thing, that I will live happy because I deserve happiness.
Thank you very much for joining me. Dr. Brandon Gomez, consultant psychologist on adolescent self-image on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, The Business Station.